Well, we've been talking about prayer on Wednesday night. I did talk about it once on Sunday morning too, but we said that God's house, we want to be a house of prayer. And we talked a little bit about a couple of kinds of prayer already. Tonight I want to just share, we'll get started. We talked about, you know, the prayer of commitment last time, we could say casting our care on the Lord or committing some things to God. Sometimes we pray and we don't always leave that care there, do we? We allow care sometimes to bother us and to affect us when we can walk in maybe not peace from what we see on the outside, but peace that comes from the inside. Amen. We've got the peace of God which passes, it says in Philippians chapter 4 there, passes understanding. Amen. That's Philippians 4, 7, and 8, sister. Hallelujah. I see you're taking some notes. But if we look there, you know, and we saw that the peace of God can come. Let's go ahead and look there. Philippians, we'll start there tonight. Why not? And we'll probably move over to one of our other scriptures there in Ephesians, but Philippians chapter 4, we said the last time, be careful or don't be anxious for anything. You know, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, there it is, verse 7, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? If we'll pray about it, we'll thank Him because we know we treat Him like He's real. We know He heard us. We prayed in accordance with what the Bible says because the Word of God dwells in us. Amen. And we prayed and we asked. And we give Him thanks because we know He heard us. He said the peace of God. Not just the peace. You know, some people know, you know, there's peace in the world. You know, say when there's not war, there's peace. You know, but it's not the peace of God. This is the peace of God which passes understanding in the natural mind. But it comes up out of the heart. Amen. He said it will mount guard. It will guard our heart. Hallelujah. It's going to keep our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus. Why? Because the truth of God is in our heart. When the Word of God is in our heart, He said in John 15:7, if we abide in Him, His words abide in us, then we ask what we will. Why? Because our will is one with His will when His Word is abiding in us. See, we can just say, well, some people think, well, we just ask whatever we want and we'll get it. Well, that's true if we're abiding and living in Him. See, when we're living according to the Word of God, then our heart's going to be one with the Father and we're going to ask in accordance with His will. His purpose for the kingdom, His purpose for our life. You see, we find that will. See, this right here, the Bible, we said that before because we were talking about finding our place in the body of Christ, remember? And that this, the Bible gives His general will, His main thing. This is what He said. And if we don't have that in our heart, then we want to find out what? The specific will of God, where He has called us and placed us in the body of Christ. He's got a job for us to do. But we're talking about prayer tonight. The same thing takes place in prayer. Because His Word, God and His Word are one. He doesn't do things outside of His Word, per se. Well, now, brother, I know somebody and they've been telling me they go to heaven every other day. I don't believe them. I'm sorry, but I can't find it in the Bible. It's not scriptural. Now, occasionally, we see in the Bible where Paul talked about it. He apparently had that vision of heaven and came back and he couldn't even tell all about it. He said, it's so marvelous and greater, I can't find the words to explain it all. And we know that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was taken up. Jesus said, come up hither. And John saw and wrote the great book of Revelation. And you know, I'm sure there's others that have visited heaven. I know some people that have. But I don't see anywhere in the Bible where anyone visited heaven a lot. I'm sorry, I love them and I think maybe they've got a good heart. Maybe they've got a great imagination and that's great and wonderful. But my Bible says to live by every word of God. Not by my imagination. Not even really by every vision and dream. We have to judge it with the Word of God. You said, well, you can't. Yes, we can. God said, this is a more sure word of prophecy right here. Right here, your Bible. Got your Bible? You know, I remember as a young person, sometimes I get a little afraid at night as a boy and 11, 12, maybe even 13, God forbid. You know? But I remember sometimes I get a little nervous or afraid and I'd take that Bible to bed with me and I'd hold it like that. So I believe there's power in the Word of God. Now I know there's no power in these pages, but still to love the Word of God, to learn to know that the Word of God will protect us if we get it in our heart. Amen. Hallelujah. And many times in my life, praise God, it's the Word of God that rose up from my heart, or what I heard in Sunday school, what I heard in church, a verse of Scripture that God could speak to our... See, if it's not in there, we make the Holy Spirit's job a lot easier when we get that Word in us. Amen. We get it in our heart and in our mind. Amen. Renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. It was good anyway. Amen. Why? What are you talking about? We're talking about prayer. You said prayer? Well, you were talking about getting that Bible in our heart. Yes. Because God and His Word are one. He said, you abide in me and my words abide in you. We'll ask what we will. Because then we have the heart of God. See, this is the will of God. Right here. Many times we're looking for the will of God. What's your will, Lord? In sometimes situations, I understand. We need to find the purpose of God and the plan of God. But right here, many times, it's already in the Bible. It's already set out for us. What did He say? We read here in Philippians that we are careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I got a request, Lord. I make it known to you. Thank you for answering me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I need something. He said He'd supply every need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now that's going to be spiritual and physical. Not just your spiritual need. He said, I'll give you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Hallelujah. Sometimes people get caught up there. Well, that's spiritual, brother. Yes, He meets your spiritual need. But that spiritual need will, you know, the Word of God is full of power. It'll produce something in this earth. Faith can produce for you. It's going to the unseen realm and bringing into this natural realm. We've talked about faith, didn't we? Faith is being firmly persuaded in what God has already promised. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. When we become in the, when we abide in this Word, and that Word abides in us. Hallelujah. I know I didn't turn there, but let's turn over there for a minute. Look at it in your eyes. John 15. John 15. There's other good scriptures in here too, but I'm kind of camping on this verse, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Hallelujah. That's a lot of power. That's responsibility. That's a privilege and an honor. Glory to God. Do you realize that? What he's saying here, he said, if we abide in him, and we allow his words to abide in us, you and I, we can ask what we will. And it shall be done. Not maybe, not might be. It's going to happen. Because we let his word, we abide in him. Now what does that mean, abide? That just means to live in him. To dwell in him. To stay in him. To listen to him. To let the word of God speak to my heart. Hallelujah. So we've got this wonderful word. We've got the Lamb of God living in us. And we've got his word right here. Glory to God. He said, herein, verse 8 says, is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so you be my disciples. When we abide in his word abides in us, we'll ask what we will. It'll be done to us and God is glorified. Why? Because it's going to bear fruit in our life. It's a prayer fruit. Hallelujah. That will take place. It's something that's going to happen in our behalf. That's authority that God gave us. That's a privilege he's given us. If, well, that's always a good word, isn't it? If. We forget that word sometimes. We just kind of pass over it. We just think, well, of course I'm abiding in him. Do we think about it? Said, if we abide. That means if we don't abide, it's not going to happen. Okay. Well, I didn't seem to get the answer. Well, what were you praying about? Well, I was praying that God would make me a billionaire. Well, okay, that's great and wonderful, and that's nice, but is that God's purpose for your life? Is that his plan for you? It could be. Maybe he has called you to be that. But for what purpose? What is the motive, see? We've got to come down to find out in our own life, in our own heart, what is motivating me? Is it God's word which is abiding in me, or is it my own fleshly desire? How are you going to know the difference with the word of God? His word said, yes, I'll take care of you. Yes, I will bless you. And if God has called you to be someone that's to finance the kingdom, he may very well want you to be a billionaire. It's possible. It is possible. We know that. But it's not easy. Because he's not going to sacrifice your life. If you're not dead to the love of money, you'll never get there. And if you do get there, you might be destroyed. If the word of God's not abiding in you. See, there's things that can destroy us in this life. And our Father is not about destroying you or sacrificing you for the sake of someone else. Yes, we lay our lives down. Yes, we give ourselves to him. Yes, we are his servants and his sons and his slaves. And we obey the master no matter what. But he's got something about you that he loves so much. He will not cause destruction on a person for the sake of another. And that's the truth. As much as he loves you. Anyway, I got into that and I didn't say he didn't call you. But if he did, you're going to have to seek him. And we're going to have to die to that love of money. If that's your call in your life, I want you to fulfill it. You know, but what if he's called you to be a 100,000-er? Well, that's not very much money, Pastor. No, but if it's the will of the Father and it's His call in your life and that's where you are, is that okay? Is that okay? Amen. Maybe He's called you to steward a smaller amount than that. Well, how could that be possible? Where do you get that from? Well, if you look at the talents, remember when He gave out the talents? He gave one, what, five? One, two, one, one? He didn't give them all the same amount. Oh, no, it was 10, 5, and 1. Sorry. Well, it was 10, 5, and 1. I got that wrong. But anyway, he gave them each a different amount. See, it's not how much we got. It's what are we doing with what we have? And what are we doing with what we know? Because I know, I mean, the reason I said that, I mean, a billion kind of blows our mind. You know, we don't really think about how much money that is. You know, the government talks in billions, you know, millions and billions. Some governments talk in trillions, which is way beyond my ability to reason. That's 1,000 billions, I guess, a trillion. Huh? Whew. They were saying, just to let you know, one guy was talking about that. You know, you got $1 million. If we put all our toonies out here and we stack them all up, just one toonie, you know, just stack them all up, $1 million, you know, might go a mile high or so, but $1 billion goes way up there, higher still. It's like a mile. I think $1 billion is a mile high, something like that, or a kilometer high. Sorry. It was real high. You know, you got your $1 million stack, and you got your $1 billion stack way up there. I think if you got the $1 billion, you could spend like $1 million a day and still not come to the end of it, you know, when your life was over. It's crazy. Crazy amounts of money. But anyway, we're trying to bring this home. So when the word abides in us, see, we don't get crazy like that. We don't get out of the plan of God because we understand my life belongs to Him. If He's taking care of me and I've got enough, we're to be satisfied. The Bible says we learn that godliness with contentment is great gain. However, it's not wrong to desire some things. God has placed us in this earth, and we're allowed to be blessed. He said, I've already blessed you with all spiritual things in heavenly places and in this earth. He'll bless you. You can have some things. I mean, you know, if you live in Canada, you got to have a car. It's just part of life. Amen. I mean, I know you can walk and I know you can get around and all those things, but pretty much if you've got a job and you've got a family, you need a car. You got to be able to get there. You got to be able to move. You got to be able to get places. Hallelujah. It's part of our society. And God will provide these things. He said, there's nothing, you know, we've talked about Matthew 6. There's not anything that we can do. We talked a little bit about that last week because we were talking about casting our care and our worry. We don't have to worry about what we eat or what we wear or what we put on or what we're going to drive. He's going to take care of those things. What if? He said, seek first the kingdom of God. And we're seeking first the kingdom. Most of you are. You wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night if you weren't trying to seek first the kingdom. I don't believe that. Amen. Come on now. It's good preaching, Pastor Doug. I'm building you up a little bit. No. They said, look out, here comes. No, I'm kidding. But you know, nothing. We don't have any need to worry about it. I know that was last week's deal, but if we lay up for ourselves, he says in Matthew 6, we lay up for ourselves treasures upon earth where moth, lay it not up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Neither moth nor rust does corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal. For that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hallelujah. Is our treasure in the kingdom of God? Is God who you really treasure? Or is our treasure in the things of the earth? And sometimes people say, well, a poor man, well, he's not really treasuring the things of God either. If he's dirt poor, he just wanders the streets and hangs out and bums a few dollars here and there. Maybe does a little bit of work occasionally. Gets a little more money for, you know, something to drink. Can't say he's, you say, well, he's not really seeking the kingdom of heaven, amen? Because the Bible does say that God will care for us. He cares for us. We saw that last week. We can cast our care on Him because He cares for you. And watches for you affectionately. God has an affection for mankind. Especially His sons and daughters. He's got this thing where He insists on taking care of us. Hallelujah. He says, behold, verse 26 of Matthew 6. Behold, the fowls of the air, they don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns that your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Aren't you more valuable than they are? Which of you, by taking a thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Can you make yourself taller or shorter or thinner or anything by taking a thought? With your worry, no. And why take you thought for raiment? What you're going to wear? Consider the lilies of the field. Woo! How they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Won't He take care of you? Hallelujah. He'll clothe you. Praise the Lord. He said, I make the lilies of the field. I make the birds of the air. I know when the sparrow falls. I know how many hairs are on your head. Don't worry about tomorrow, what I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make it all come through. Hallelujah. Verse 31, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now that sounds to me much like He did over there in John. You know, abide. If we abide in Him. Amen. And He abides. His words abide in us. Well, that's what we will. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. His righteousness, His way of doing things. And all these things will be added to you. What things? Whatsoever things. Whatever you need to eat. Whatever you need to drink. Whatever you need to be clothed with. Hallelujah. That's how the devil works. He's trying to get you so concerned about all the things that you need to live in this life, you don't have time to seek the Father. Amen. It's true anyway. Amen. He'll try to get you all turned around to where everything's about the earthly things. There's nothing wrong with having them. He didn't say it's wrong to have those things. He said, I'll take care of you. I'll make sure you're well taken care of. You'll eat good. I haven't missed too many meals lately. Praise the Lord. Unless I wanted to. Hallelujah. You know, it's okay. He said, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I have an affection for you. When we abide in Him, and His Word abides in us, ask what we will, it'll be done. We're talking about prayer. Prayer brings us somewhere. Prayer brings us into vital contact with the Father. We approach God. We have a vital contact with God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. The one that aligned all the planets. The one that put the sun in place. All the planets in place. He made sure everything was perfect so that life could live on this earth. We're talking about God Almighty. The one that knows you. The one that formed man. He knows about all the DNA in your body. He knows how to make any adjustments that are necessary. Amen. He knows our thoughts. He knows our desires. He knows our dreams. And He wants us to be pleasing unto Him. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to enjoy this life. Amen. We're not here to live in misery. This is vital contact with God prayer. When we begin to say, Father, we did that tonight. Amen. You're holy. You're righteous. I love you, Lord. I worship you. We glorify you, Jesus. He likes it. He likes walking with us. He likes living in us and with us. He enjoys our fellowship. Hallelujah. Sometimes we had to sit down and think about that. Well, I really need to be praying. Well, it's not so much as it is for us, but it's also for Him. He likes our fellowship. He wants us. He wants our authority for the earth. So that when His Word, when He's abiding in us, when there's that divine exchange that takes place of who God is and His power that works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. There's an exchange of our weakness for His strength. Prayer brings us into that vital contact with the living God. We're not talking about the God who was of yesterday. He was yesterday. But He's also the God today. Right now. For 2021. Right here. November of 2021. And tomorrow, of course, and for all eternity. But He's a living God. He's not a dead God. If you want a dead God, you got to go talk to Buddha. Somebody that's not alive. They can't help you. But our God's alive. And He'll never die. And He'll never back down from what He said. Vital contact with Him. When we spend time in His presence. He said, if you abide in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're living in Him. We're seeking first His kingdom. This is what prayer really is. It's that contact with God. Hallelujah. And there's certain spiritual things that happen. Reactions from God. Reactions in our spirit. Actions in this natural world. Things begin to change because we know Him. See, when you contact God, you know, and you hang out with Him for a while, just get consistent at it. I didn't say you have to spend hours and hours and hours every day. But if you spend some time every single day on a consistent basis, every day, say, well, what time are we going to pray tomorrow? We need to write it down and figure it out because time evades us. That's why. Didn't say you have to do it. You know what? It's not a condemnation. Well, I missed yesterday. I overslept. Okay. Talk to the Lord about it. Lord, I overslept. He'll probably laugh. Yeah, I know. I'm not saying if you oversleep every day, He might have a little chat with you, just like you would with somebody that comes to work late. Well, what happened? I overslept. You know, you'd get a little chat with them, wouldn't you? So maybe you need to go to bed a little earlier. Maybe you need to set your alarm a little earlier. Maybe you need to leave the house a little sooner. Yeah. Hallelujah. Get some discipline. Woo, there's a good word. Disciple. You know what that means, right? Discipline follower. Sometimes we need a little, and sometimes it is a little discipline for a while when we're talking with God. And there are times when it seems like He's not there, but we know He's there. Why? Because the Word of God told us, and this Word is living in us, that God does not leave us nor forsake us ever. Not based upon how I feel in my natural man, but based upon what He said. I come boldly to the throne of grace that I may receive help. Hallelujah. How many ever need help? Sometimes it's the greatest prayer there is. Help, Lord, help. He already knows what you need before you ask. Hallelujah. But we can come boldly. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. And because I'm a son and a daughter of God. You're a child of the King. You belong to Him. He purchased us. He said, know ye not that you're the temple of God? Amen. I purchased you. You could say He owns us, but He doesn't act that way. He purchased us and then He brought us into the family. Amen. He said, come on in. Be part of me. Come work in my kingdom. Come be a part of the family. I'm going to teach you what a real family is. Hallelujah. That's our Father. He takes us up and lets us know how much He loves us. Hallelujah. And that's important too. These are vital things that begin to take place when we seek first the kingdom, as we said. It brings that understanding of who He is and brings us into close fellowship. Let's look over here at 1 John. I love the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for Your Word. How many love the Word of God? Amen. Hallelujah. But here in 1 John, this is the same John that wrote the book of John and also wrote the book of Revelation. And this is probably 20 or so years approximately after Paul had even passed. All the disciples are gone and John was still there being faithful to preach what Jesus said. He said in verse 3, He said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. See, prayer is a fellowship with God. And He said, with us. Just like we have fellowship with God. In other words, He's saying, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I know some people say, well, that's not really talking about prayer, but what is fellowship? Now, one guy said, that's two fellows in the same ship, right? That's a couple of people. You and the Father having communication. Amen. That's fellowship. And truly that fellowship, He says, with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that what? Your joy may be full. There's joy in the presence of God. There's joy in prayer. There's joy in knowing Him. There's joy in abiding in Him. Many times, sometimes you see Christians and we're all so wonderful. Well, if you get saved, you can have the joy I got. Well, from the sound of your voice and the great wonderful attitude that you have, I'll pass sight unseen. I'm not interested. Thank you. But one of the fruit of the reborn new nature on the inside of us is joy. The Bible said Jesus had joy above His fellows. More joy than all of them had. Hallelujah. See, we look at Jesus and they think, well, He walked around. But He had joy. How many know in joy there's a little bit of fun? I'm sure He and the disciples played around a little. Everybody says, oh, Jesus, yeah, I'm sure He did. I'm sure they had a wonderful time. And yes, they asked Him questions, but they were a family. They were a group that He poured His life into. Hallelujah. Jesus was a man, just like you and I. He was human 100%. Everything He did on the earth, He laid aside His deity to operate just like a man, which gave us absolutely no excuse. We've got no excuse. We've got the same Spirit. We've got a born-again nature. We've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And we can walk. Amen. Like he did. So, well, we can. Yeah, we can. It is possible. You said, well, now, Pastor Doug, I don't know about that, but look here, John 2, let's look at the 6th verse. He said, he that saith he abideth in him, and we just read over in John, right? If we abide in him, his words abide in us, live in us, we live in him. Amen. Ask what we will, but here he says again, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now, who's he talking about here? He was talking about Jesus here. Because that's who they're introducing. Amen. We just read up here that which we've seen. Who did they see? Who did they hear? Who did John see and hear? It was Jesus. Amen. He was one of the 12 disciples. We're declaring that to you, that you can have this same fellowship. Now, this always kills me, I agree. But it says, he that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Hallelujah. And how did Jesus walk? He walked in communion with his Father. See, fellowship with his Father. And that's really what the Bible's saying. We hear that word. We say, well, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Well, how are you going to do that? By having our heart open and in communion with our Father. Lord, if there's anything you need, I'm here. I'm right here, Lord. Yeah. So that throughout the day you're available at all times. It's not saying I have to sit down here or kneel down here in the altar. And so 24 hours a day, where's Pastor Doug? He's at the altar. Where's Pastor Doug? He's at the altar. Sorry, he's not available. He's at the altar. I mean, what am I going to do? Kneel here? Where is he? He's at the altar. I told you he's at the altar. Every time you call, Pastor Doug's at the altar. Why? Because he's got to be in prayer all the time, constantly. But prayer is a communion with the Father. Remember, let's look back. What did they do in Genesis? How did Adam and Eve talk with God? Didn't the Bible say God came and he liked to walk with them in the cool of the day? After it got down, it makes me think of the dusk time, you know, the sun isn't maybe down yet, but it's getting a little cooler and there's a nice breeze and you go outside. And of course it was perfect, so the temperature was just perfect. And the Father comes, here he comes, to talk with his creation. Oh, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To commune with them. And to talk with him. See, we can talk with him face to face, really. Spirit to spirit, because we were born again. We were made new. We've been changed on the inside so that we now have the same nature that Jesus had on the inside of him, which was alive to the Father. Our spirit is alive to the Father, that we can have that fellowship and communion with him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, how precious and valuable. So many times, I don't know about you, but I remember I talked to the Lord and I pray, and so, you know, I just would be so frustrated sometimes because I say frustrated in a good way, but it just seemed like, Lord, there's so much more I want to tell you and I just don't have the words to say. You know, and he would come and love us, you know, but then I got filled with the Holy Ghost and these words begin to bubble up out of my spirit and spirit to spirit. I said, oh, I feel so good to my spirit man, to my heart, Lord, to be able to express to you with your help how much I love you. and then to be in his presence so many times. I remember I'd pray every day. I'd get in the chapel when I was in this particular university, and I'd pray, and I had to go to class. Oh, Lord, I don't want to go to class. I don't feel like leaving. I don't want to leave your presence. But I would leave. Of course, I have to. Lord, I got to go to class. He knew that. But you know, when we fellowship with him, we don't really leave his presence. He goes with us. And I learned to let him go with me. That can carry that from one place to another. So that I'm never really alone. He's with me. And we're walking together. Amen. Like he walked with the Father in fellowship, I can walk in fellowship with my Father who loves me. It's no wonder John said in chapter 3, I love that verse. He said, behold, look what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, knoweth us not, because it knew him not. When people don't really know God, they may not understand you. They don't really know you because you're not the same. You're like him. You've been born again. You've been changed. You become one with the Father and have a fellowship with the God of the universe. Hallelujah. Woo. He said that your joy over there in that, I always liked that too. The joy. He said, we said this to you, that your joy may be full. There's a fullness. This vital contact brings some things to us. It brings that fullness of joy. The fullness of knowing him. Hallelujah. What an honor to pray to the living God, to talk with him, to fellowship with him, to have that vital contact with him. Hallelujah. Whew. You know, when we really know him and we have that contact with him, faith doesn't seem so hard, does it? It begins to flow because we know who he is. We begin to understand that he is love, that he is all-knowing, that he's a father that's not a withholder but a giver. There's a divine exchange that takes place. And we begin to know him through that fellowship that we have with him in our prayer, in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of course, we talked about worship also. I mean, that's one of the highest forms of prayer. When we begin to tell him how much we love him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, thank you, Father. Where are we going? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going forward because in that place of prayer, these things, there are so many benefits that take place. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 40. I like this verse too. I like all of them, don't I? Glory to God. How can you choose one verse over another? I don't know. But hallelujah. Praise God. Now the word, I want to talk just for a minute there about fellowship. Fellowship in the Greek is koinonia. That's the Greek word for it. But it just means joint participation, intimacy. We share what's on our heart with the Father. And God wants to get so close to you that his presence lingers with you all day, everywhere we go. Amen. He wants to be that close with you. He wants to have that communion with you, that fellowship, that one-on-one joint participation, that intimacy. He wants to join in every area of our life, whether it's perfect right now or not. He's the one that brings the perfection to it because He has the answer. And He can share with us from His Word and from His character, who He is, how to handle any situation, how to overcome it, how to put it to death, how to get it out of our life. Hallelujah. Why? Because He is God of all the universe, full of wisdom, the giver of all life. He knows how you tick and what makes you get angry and what makes you satisfied, what you like. He wants you to talk to Him about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Well, we're going to Isaiah 40. Hallelujah. Because we're talking about some things, that divine exchange that takes place in prayer. Verse 29, He giveth power to the faint. Glory to God. Anybody ever here feel faint? Amen. Amen. I know all of us have sometime in your life. Maybe you felt a little faint. You had a moment of weakness, someone would say. Hallelujah. And to them that have no might, you ever felt like your might left you? Maybe you hadn't been struck yet, but stick around long enough, you will. Because this world is a place of sin, and as long as we live here, there's sin all around us. It's not perfect. It's an imperfect world. And there are things sometimes that come, whether we want them to or not. The crisis of life sometimes hits us. And sometimes we feel we have no might. But the Bible says here, He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Glory to God. You ever need your strength increased? I suggest a little prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Prayer brings us in that context, and there's an exchange that takes place. Says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord, hallelujah. So, well, I know this verse. I know you do. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and they'll not faint. Amen. Why? Because we've got a strength that comes. Hallelujah. God gives a power and a strength to us when we stand before Him, when we wait upon Him in that fellowship. We minister to Him. Glory to God forever. Renew means to exchange. As we fellowship in close communion with God, there will be that divine exchange. You will exchange your weakness for His strength. Hallelujah. I don't know how many times you've ever had to go there. Sometimes it may be several times in a day. It may be every minute. It may be every few minutes. It may be every hour. But His strength always comes. He said that He will renew our strength. You're going to mount up like an eagle. Have you ever watched the eagle fly? They say He can lock His wings in that storm. Glory to God. It's kind of like Jesus said. God said, you know, when we set our face like flint, boom, I'm locked in with the Word of God and I'm getting ready to soar, bless God. Let the winds of the devil blow. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm going above and I'm looking down at the storm and my Father is going to give me strength. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say with my voice, peace be still. And that storm shall be calm. It's coming to an end. Glory to God, because I got a Father that gives me strength. causes me to mount with him with eagle's wings. Hallelujah. Didn't say we were an eagle, but it's like that. He said, you just begin to soar in the things of God. You're not moved by the things that you see around you. And you begin to run and you don't get weary. And you begin to walk. Why? Because you're walking with him. Hallelujah. What a joy to walk with the God of the universe. Whew. It's hard to imagine in our mind sometimes in the change that he gave us and that took place on the inside of us is so much more powerful than we give him credit for sometimes. Hallelujah. What a strength. What a joy. What an honor to fellowship with the God of the universe, to let his word abide in us, to live in him and let him live in us. So if you abide in me and I in you, let my words abide in you. Let them resonate on the inside. We're going to ask whatever. It's going to be done. But there's that divine exchange. Hallelujah. Our weaknesses for his strength. Our inability for his ability. Hallelujah. What a good father. What a privilege. What an honor to stand in the place of prayer, to place of fellowship. Luke 18:1 says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. Hallelujah. We ought always to pray and not to faint. Hallelujah. And when we wait on him, when we seek first his kingdom, we're not going to faint. We're not going to be those that are destroyed. The storm's not going to defeat us, but we're going to soar like the eagle. He's going to give us the power. He's going to give us that strength to overcome. And sometimes it's not always overcoming it. It's not just there, but sometimes we go through. And right in the midst of the storm, what did we say? The peace of God, which passes understanding, is in me. Why aren't you worried? Because I know in whom I believe. Glory to God. And I am persuaded that he is able. Thank you, Father. I'm not worried. Hallelujah. I don't fear. I'm not worried. It's not going to destroy me because I got a father that loves me. I am in a relationship and a fellowship with Almighty God. Hallelujah. And there's nothing impossible with him. Nothing. And he said, I'm going to be able to ask him what I will. He'll do it. He said, I'll do it. It'll be done for you. Hallelujah. If we abide. Amen. If we abide. How many of you do a little bit more abiding, a little bit more praying, a little bit more fellowship with our Father? Hallelujah. What a joy. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Oh, I preached myself happy. I'll tell you what. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. I can run through a troop, leap over a wall. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but let's look out. Keep our eyes on that thing. Hallelujah. On the prize. And expect the exchange to take place. See, there's rewards in prayer. Rewards in fellowship with the Father that loves us so much. Thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for truth. We thank you that you draw us, Lord, and that we are those that hunger for you, Lord. We desire you, Lord. We trust you. And Father, we thank you for the opportunities, Lord, that you give us every day to pray, to fellowship with you, to have that divine exchange, Lord. That more and more each day we realize, Father, your strength is with us. Your strength is in us. Your power is unlimited and there's nothing you won't do, Father, when we live with you and walk with you, Lord. Thank you for that honor. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of knowing you. Oh, Father, we don't want to throw away, Lord, the divine fellowship, Lord, that we have with you. Thank you. We love you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who helps us, Lord, and prays through us. Hallelujah. We love you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Father, into our lives. And we ask you to grace us, Lord. Grant grace upon our people, Lord. We've been praying, Lord, but we want to continue in prayer, Lord. We want to have that divine fellowship, Father. We want to live in you, Lord. Every day, Father. Every day. We thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen and amen.